This is Ozarks at Large. This week, Talk Business and Politics and Hendricks College released their latest round of poll numbers. The results show Republicans have slight advantages in the governor and Senate races, and they have advantages in our congressional matchups. Dr. Jay Barth, professor of political science at Hendricks College, and Clint Reed with Impact Management Group, recently discussed the polling numbers with Robbie Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics.
For the first time in our polling, Jay, we've got Tom Cotton up 44% to 42% over prior. This has been a neck and neck race the whole time. What surprised you in the results?
Well, you know, most of the public polling has been within a margin of error, as all of our polling in this race. Now we do have a different leader, and obviously that's relevant and got a lot of attention this week. I think, you know, time will tell whether it shows any kind of trend or whether it's all statistical noise. I think at this stage, you know, neither candidate has broken into any kind of lead. And we really are at this stage appearing to go towards the debates, where it would be the next big time where you might see some kind of big change in this race.
So I think if we can get debates going.
That's so. Exactly right.
Clint,
that's right.
Your takeaway.
The big takeaway for me is how the prior campaign responded to the poll numbers that were coming out. Serious overreaction, and it was a 2-point deficit within the margin of error. So I'm not sure if they're worried about the long-term implications of some of the public polling that's out there, but that jumped out to me. To me, the big takeaway is this race is close. It's going to be close. The structural trends that are there, independents favoring Republicans, especially Cotton in this race, you know, it seems to indicate that Republicans may have an advantage, but we're a long way from Election Day. To me, the big score headed down the home stretch is the massive, robust ground games that I know the Democrat Party's putting together, the Republican Party's putting together. We're going to see who has the best ground game, I think.
Yeah, that's all GOTV.
Sure.
I mean, and so really every campaign is hedging their bets on what they predict will happen and what they're modeling to happen. We're really not going to know till November 5th who really executed the best.
I do think, you know, demographically, the one big shift that we did see in this poll compared to previous polls was 65 and older voters. And that's a key demographic. It's a large demographic. I think the prior folks have thought they have some inside with that group because they've been voting for the prior brand for a lot of times. This time we did see a shift towards Cotton with that group. That's going to be a key group to watch moving forward.
I would suspect the media campaigns for both campaigns will be focused on, you know, those traditional demographics, as he mentioned.
And we'll probably see David Pryor out on the campaign trail real soon there. All right, let's shift to the governor's race. In this one, Asa Hutchinson stretching out with a little bit of a lead. This one has been kind of volatile. In our latest polling, we've got Asa Hutchinson at 46%, Mike Ross at 41%, still about 7.5 undecided. But we've seen Mike Ross with a small lead. We've seen Asa Hutchinson with a stronger lead a few months ago, and now we see Asa back in charge. Clint, your takeaway from this race?
If you look at the broad base of support that he has in this poll, he's ahead among men. He's ahead among white voters. He's ahead of, you know, had a small lead, if I remember correct, among women. Not a great gender gap.
Right.
Yeah, it's one poll. We'll take a look at it. Public and private polling that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of it over the last several months, Asa's got a solid lead. I just don't see how anybody can dispute the fact that he has the momentum in this race. You know, albeit we're still talking about mid-40s, you know, Ross is still in the low 40s, but you got to remember, over the last several weeks, we had the DGA and the Ross campaign spending almost $2 million to boost that name ID. It doesn't seem to have helped. I think this race is advantage Asa as we head down the home stretch.
So what's Mike Ross do?
Well, I think we do need to point out this poll was done just before a few days of pretty bad press for Asa Hutchinson. We don't know the impact of that. We certainly starting to see some attack advertising on the tax issue and other things. So, you know, I think what this means is that this race is going to get really ratcheted up. I think this race has kind of flown a little under radar in the intensity of the U.S. Senate race. I think with the events, the external events, and then with these polling numbers, I think we're going to see a big jump in this race.
Yeah,
it's going to be a very
more
high attention.
And every time everybody I talk to says, too, that if you watch the numbers in the race in terms of television advertising, when a message campaign comes out, it moves numbers in this race in a dramatic, noticeable way.
I think if you look at what the outside groups will start focusing on, whether it's Crossroads or whether it's RGA or DGA, look, they're going to be focused on these very marginal peripheral demographics, whether it's people outside of Pulaski County with 65 plus, whether it's, you know, women or men. you know, that's the inside baseball that, you know, Jay and I like to watch. But it's significant because if you're talking about a 1 or 2 point race and you factor in Libertarian and Green Party candidates, I mean, it could really change the outcome of the election one way or the other.
Is it too early for Mike Ross to hit the panic button and think that he's got to do something dramatic, to a game-changing event in this campaign, or can he keep doing what he's doing but do it better?
I think he does have to get a little more emotional connection with voters. And I think what he, you know, he's made the rational case for, in essence, the continuation of the BB legacy. But he's got to do it with a little more heart and a little more emotion. I think they can do that effectively with television. I think in particular we may see some advertising very much targeted at women. And we've certainly seen the communication about domestic violence and pre-K education, some issues that really should resonate well with women based on other polling. And I think we will now begin to see some emotion-laden advertising.
Let's shift to the congressional races now. Our new Top Business polling, Top Business and Politics, Hendricks College poll, I looked at the 4 congressional district races. Let's look at district number 1 first. Republican Congressman Rick Crawford, 47.5%. Democratic Mayor Jackie McPherson, 33%, about 16.5% still undecided. Rick Crawford, still not a household name in the 1st congressional district, it would appear, although he looks safe for reelection at this point in time. Clint?
If you look at Northeast Arkansas, if you look at Craighead County and the growth up there, we've seen tremendous generic Republican growth in this area. He's getting an advantage of that. If you look at Cotton's numbers, and if you look at Ace's numbers and all the polling I've seen over several months, both of those candidates do very well in that district, which is, you know, 10 years ago, Republicans would have wished that we would have finally be where we are today. Crawford's going to be fine. I mean, at the end of the day, Ace is doing well there. Cotton's doing well there. These are going to be battleground counties for Republicans. I just don't see the Senate race and the governor's race, and the governor's race less so than the Senate race, are taking the air out of every other, you know, race that's on the ballot. You know, the question is, can Crawford continue to raise money? It looks like he's doing that. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, Jay.
I mean, I think all the structural dynamics certainly favor Crawford's reelection. I do think his continued neutrality, the fact that a lot of folks don't know him, especially in the southern part of the district, is a problem. I do think that if Jackie McPherson were to have the kind of finances he would need, he could make this a race. Making it a close race, I think, is a real challenge, especially when you see the kind of break in independents. Yeah. I mean, Crawford just destroying McPherson with independents. And I think what we're seeing is that a lot of independents, especially in the 1st District and the 4th District, you know, really are Republicans. They just haven't gotten to the point of claiming that name. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot in this district.
So how does this play out, too, in Northeast Arkansas and where we're talking about in terms of the core of the 1st congressional district? How does that play out in legislative races, state legislative races? There's like 14 contested House and Senate races just in that Northeast Arkansas corridor up there. I couldn't tell you who's going to win all of them. I mean, is it split 50-50? Does somebody win in big margins? How does this dynamic we're talking about?
I think you've got to look at the special election that we had for the state Senate seat in Jonesboro several months ago. You had Mike Beebe, who was doing television advertising for the Democrat candidate in a special election in what has historically been a Democrat stronghold for all intents and purposes, and the Republican won. So to me, that is more of a very geopolitical shift than it is just an election cycle shift. I agree with Jay. I think those people that have never taken a stripe, meaning a party stripe, have now said, look, I'm a member of the Republican Party, and they're voting that way.
I will say, you know, special elections are a special case. And we did see, especially in the last days of the 2012 cycle, Governor Beebe going into certain districts up there and really saving some districts for Democrats and really came within about 40 votes of getting a tie in the House with a district that was the closest race and is going to be another very close House race up just south of Jonesboro. So I think, you know, the Democrats clearly are going to try to detach those races from national trends and really focus on the personalities, because they do have some pretty good candidates up there. The question is, can they do that detachment?
There's so much opportunity in Northeast Arkansas. Somebody ought to start a website up there to cover politics and business up
there.
You've
done
that. Yes, that is a good one. Thank you. Talkbusiness.net-NEA. All right, let's move to the 2nd district. Speaking of competitive races here, in our Talk Business and Politics Hendricks College polling, Democrat Pat Hayes with 43%, French Hill, the Republican, with 44%. And we have a pretty low undecided in this race, too, 10%. Libertarian Debbie Standerford with 3%. percent. Jay, I'll come to you first on this one. There was a lot of different things happening with our sample in that second congressional district race, but at the end of the day, when you just, you could throw everything at the wall and pull it all back out, this race is a statistical dead heat.
It is. I mean, both in the, you know, low, mid 40s. I think, you know, the second district is very interesting. I think that it's a more polarized district than some of the others. It's also the most closely matched in terms of partisanship, because you do have white voters in this district who are more progressive than in the other districts. That combines with an African-American vote to give Democrats a good fighting chance. And here they have a candidate who has, you know, lots of years of name recognition in the only media market in the district, Little Rock, former North Little Rock Mayor Pat Hayes, and a very, you know, popular mayor of North Little Rock. So this is a race that where I think Republicans do have some brand advantage. It's not as stark as in the other districts, and the Democrats have really a household name, and Pat Hayes is running fairly solidly here.
To me, this race is all about Pulaski County. If the Democrats can get, you know, some of these variables that you talk about in terms of voter turnout to exist, I think they, you know, they have an outside shot. With Pulaski County being the Democrat strength, you have a Republican candidate from the heart of Pulaski County that will and can appeal to a lot of mainstream voters. If you look at Faulkner County, if you look at Saline County, you look at West Little Rock, I mean, these are places in which independent voters are going for the Republican candidate in overwhelming margins. French is going to have a lot of money. He'll spend it. His television advertising in the primary was good. I thought it branded him very well. Expect more of the same. But at the end of the day, I think this race is lean Republican. I think it's French's to lose.
I do. We did notice, you know, in looking at some of the crosstabs between Pulaski County and outside of Pulaski County, Pat Hayes was kind of underperforming in Pulaski County, I think maybe for the reasons you suggest, but French Hill was underperforming out in the suburban counties, and I think that's a lot of positive name recognition over the years for Pat Hayes. So I think we may see some really interesting patterns, and it's all going to come down to where the votes are. Mm-hmm. What percentage of the votes are from Pulaski County? If it gets near 60%, it's probably trouble for the Republican. And then, of course, what is the African-American vote? Is it as high as it needs to be for Democrats to win that race?
All right, third congressional district, Congressman Steve Womack, 57%, Libertarian Grant Brand, 20%, 23% undecided. I would suggest that there's no Democrat on the ticket, so we don't know who to vote for. We're just not going to tell you what our opinion is. Do we need to even say anything about the third district race? Game over?
Game over, barring the really thoroughly bizarre.
Yeah, game over.
But let's talk about something you and I, the three of us, have talked about at the Northeast Arkansas Political Animals Club, about the third congressional district and its potential to become a purpler district at some point in time. What do you see in the trends there in terms of some of the numbers that you're crawling through and that you look at that suggest that?
Yeah, and I've written a little bit about this. I mean, I do think that with the real cultural change that's going on in some of those fast-growing cities up there, they're really becoming much more dense, much more urban. They've historically been really kind of suburbanized, sprawling areas. They're getting pretty dense, and we've seen a lot of cultural change as some of the firms up there, the companies up there, are becoming more high-tech. And we're seeing, of course, the art scene that's developing up there. And those towns that are now really decent-sized cities are the kind of places where you can do door-to-door, you can kind of develop a ground game. And some Democrats are looking at, even this cycle, maybe not winning up there, but really creating some dynamics up there that may pay off in the future. I think something's going on up there.
I've been making this argument for a couple of years. People in my party think I'm crazy. I think Benton County ultimately ends up being a progressive county for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned. You look at the vendor community, you look at the Walmart community, these are middle to younger voters that have a little more progressive tint to them. You think about the art center and all of, you know, those sort of cultural changes. You got to keep an eye on it, because these are not hardcore conservative type voters. If you look at, they passed the wet dry issue in the primary for all things in 2012. I think you got to keep an eye on that.
Years away, though.
Yeah. Within a couple of cycles, because it's a very transient population. Many of these folks are not from there. They don't have deep roots. They haven't voted, you know, in Arkansas elections for that many years. I mean, you could see some pretty, what we've seen in Northern Virginia, what we've seen in some other places, the Triangle in North Carolina, we could see some of those shifts, and they can make a difference quickly.
All right. On a time bent here, let's go. Fourth congressional district, we've got Republican Representative Bruce Westerman, 48%. James Lee Witt, former FEMA director, at 34%, about 15% undecided Libertarian Ken Hamilton at 3%. This may have been some of the best news out of all of our polling for Republicans, Clint.
If you're Bruce Westerman, you feel really good about where you are today for a couple of reasons. One is Asa Hutchinson's beating Mike Ross in that district, according to this poll. A lot of people would never thought that that would have happened. This is the district that a lot of the district that Mike Ross used to represent. You know, Cotton's doing very well. That's his old district. But to me, it's a lot like the first district. You've got people now saying, hey, I'm more in line with the Republican orthodoxy. This is the way I'm going to vote. Mm-hmm. If you look at Garland County, you look at Miller County, you look at some of the population centers, Jefferson County gets split a little bit because of the first district, fourth district split. There's just not a lot of places for Democrats to go to get a large number of voters. This is great news for Bruce Westerman. I think it's his race to lose.
I do think, the caveat, a couple of caveats. One is that it's a big media district. It's such a big district. Sure. You've got to run a lot of different media markets. And we know that James Lee Witt has the resources to do that, do it effectively, and move numbers very quickly. We saw Tommy Moll, for instance, move numbers quite dramatically in that race in the primary, primarily running on TV. And so I think we could see some shifts. I do think, James Lee Witt does have an appealing biography that does appeal to independents and is not very partisan. I think the other thing is, James Lee Witt is underperforming with African Americans pretty significantly. I think African American voters in that district will come back into the Democratic Party fold. That will shift some numbers as well. This race, I think, has a real potential to get pretty close, but a lot of things have to start breaking right for James Lee Witt.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics, speaking with Dr. Jay Barth, professor of political science at Hendricks College, and Clint Reed with Impact Management Group. More information is available at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business and Politics on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com.
Flowers of Peace will decorate the Fayetteville Town Center Plaza August 10th during the Omni Center's Hiroshima Nagasaki Remembrance, A New Generation of Truth, Flowers of Peace. This event from 7 to 8:30 p.m. will feature music, poetry, and an informative guest. More information is available at omnicenter.org.
Northwest Arkansas Human Resource Association presents Advocacy in Action, a two-part series, August 14th, beginning at 11:30 a.m. at the Springdale Holiday Inn. Arkansas Secretary of State Mark Martin will speak, as well as political representatives discussing the legislative process and how to effectively get involved. Registration for the event is required. NOARK.org for more information.